This is WGBH's Morning Edition. They've been playing music for 36 years, and after 20 albums and 2 Grammy Awards, they might be giants, still making new music and touring the country. The band, founded by John Flansburgh and John Linnell, who both grew up in Lincoln, Mass., is out with a new album called I Like Fun. They came to Boston recently to play a sold-out House of Blues, where we sat down backstage.
So we're sitting here across the street from Fenway Park. Having lived here, growing up here, now you're in New York, you must have, like, a true sense of the rivalry between these two cities. Not even necessarily sports, but these two cities.
I have a story that I'm sure I've told in a public forum, but I've definitely told it to my wife at least twice, which is that when I came to New York, I remember very early on going, like, you know, the whole Boston-New York rivalry thing? And a guy from New York looked at me and was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
So I think that's something that it looms very large in the minds of Bostonians,
yeah.
But maybe not so large in the minds of New Yorkers. You know, we grew up with the old Red Sox
I can't believe we're talking about sports.
Well, here we
are. Not though.
They might be trying to talk in sports.
Whatever, but I'm not talking about sports. These two cities, maybe I'm obsessed with this.
I think in New York, and this sounds like a cliche, but I think the rival city is on the other coast. It's not here.
Yeah.
So
that's just kind of our problem.
It's
to
just
out.
Your problem.
Yeah, I understand. So you're on the road. Is it as fun as it used to be, or is this a job?
It's less fun than it used to be.
It is.
We jump right in.
Yeah.
We're old.
You
now.
Want to hear about bitterness?
Yeah.
We got it.
Yeah, come on.
It's always been reasonably fun, but it's marginally less fun, I would say. I don't know if John feels the same way, but
Really?
You
find it marginally less fun? I find it marginally more fun.
Really?
Yeah, yeah,
You're
yeah.
lying.
No. The first, like, year or two we were on the road, I was constantly losing my voice. And it was really frustrating because I couldn't, there'd be whole days where I wouldn't be able to talk. I had a lot of more stage fright issues and things that sort of messed me up. I mean, there's a certain kind of intensity to the, you know, to performing live, but it's not like really wrapped up in like stage fright. So that, I feel like that's a really pleasant thing to have gotten over, but you know, I don't know.
You got over that last year, right?
Just about 6 months ago.
Much has been written about your following, which is not only loyal but very diverse, including in age. Do you feel old when you see like college kids out there?
No, I feel like we're doing a good job. I think the truth is it's like we're advocates for our kind of music. Like we're doing something that's a little bit left of center.
I think our audience is somehow credulous that we are perfectly current. Kind of thing,
you know. I think you know. We're just trying to be our authentic selves. I think
we were never cool. Let's just be straight.
This is a funny conversation though, because this is sort of like when the fashion model goes on the Tonight Show and says like I was so ugly in high school. Like there's something bologna sandwiches about that idea of saying you're cool or not cool. I feel like we've done original things, and there is something inherently cool about doing.
Well,
original.
But
things.
I guess it depends what you mean by cool.
There's something about just doing original stuff that you got to be a little bit brave to do it.
They call me the greatest because I'm not very good and they're being sarcastic. They're being sarcastic.
I just think about what we think we know about you guys as personalities. And after 30-something years, people trying to figure out what genre you are and put you in a certain group of things. And
yeah, well, it's nice that nobody knows how pretentious we are. You know, in a very strange, immediate way, I think, the world has moved kind of in our direction. And that was quite a surprise. You know, I mean, the only way we kind of got through is that, you know, at the beginning is that we had these, you know, these sort of pop songs that worked on alternative rock radio. But then as time has gone on, there's this whole kind of counterculture thing online that they have completely embraced us. And that's really been sort of the thing that saved us in the past.
Well, is that kind of the secret to longevity?
I think just doing it is the secret.
Yeah.
I mean,
not being a quitter.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
Wow.
Nixon, Sarah Palin, they were quitters. We are sticking
weak.
To the...
You are no Sarah Palin.
Right.
I know. I said that I would quit. All right. I promise no more after this. You don't
Do you guys consider yourselves, and I ask you this because people have spent so much time obsessing over the lyrics and what the message really is and how it pairs with this often happy-sounding melody. Are you guys existentialists?
Mm, boy, that was not the word I thought was about to come out.
Really? What did you think?
I just didn't. I mean, I don't even know what that word means, actually.
Well, let's dig in here.
Yeah, man. Okay.
Doesn't existentialism sort of mean two different things? A lot of times, people use the word existentialism when they want to say you're experiencing existential dread. If you have an existential consciousness, mm-hmm. it might lead you to a kind of like despair in a world without God. Right. So I think that's what you were trying to
say. The cosmic irony.
And I think you've nailed it. But I think existentialism, the larger thing, is like a philosophy that's about living like a moral life without God. And that's, you're actually taking on like a much larger set of responsibilities. And that,
we don't want to do that.
That's sort of like hold on. But with this record, there is this kind of thread of existential dread through that, as you pointed out. In the record, there's a lot of sort of, there's a lot of fear in the lyrics of the songs and a lot of disappointment in the lyrics of the songs.
Can a godless universe become more godless?
The drumbeat never changes tempo. It's steady like a rock, and like a rock, it crushes you as it gets louder. The drum gets louder and louder, and you know there is no parking on the dance floor.
What's strange is that this record has like resonated with people in a way that it's unusual. I think it's much more a reflection of the time that we live in. I feel like we're kind of doing the thing that we do, and then all of a sudden, for this unusual moment, we're syncing up very much with the world.
Everybody knows how this goes, so let's get over it and let's get this over with.
But, you know, we haven't really seized on that, and we're trying to do a thing, and in a way it's a distraction to have all this stuff. But I would say, looking at our catalog, you know, we have absolutely been affected by the stuff that's coming down.
You know, one of the strange things about our place in the culture is that we don't really spend a lot of time thinking about how our stuff is going to land. But then when the album comes out and it's sort of embraced and suddenly people are saying that it feels relevant, it's kind of odd for us because it's not like we're not like really tracking. We're not chasing the zeitgeist. We're just not that kind of band.
You can hear in the alley by the light switch. Who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. I have a secret to tell.
This piece was produced and edited by Karen Marshall. This is WGBH Radio.